Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. We exist for God's glory alone, encouraging each other to have a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
Tuesday was the 46th anniversary of the legalization of abortion in our nation. January 22, 1973, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of taking the life of a child in the womb. One of the saddest days in the history of the United States of America, when a baby was not deemed human. Since that day, an estimated 61 million lives of unborn, preborn babies have been taken. That's numbers almost beyond understanding. 61 million of every color and ethnicity and stage of development. And we can try to consider it in light of the number of American lives lost in every major war. The Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam. 1,378,052 lives. The American abortions, 61 million. The culture of death in the guise of women's rights continues in this nation. And on the anniversary of legalized abortion in America, the state of New York, after two decades of not being able to pass it, passed a sweeping new bill called the Reproductive Health Care Act. And you may say, I've seen that in the news and I've seen it on social media. Why is that such a big deal in New York? Because for two decades, it couldn't pass. And then this last election is when the leadership changed. That is why it is so important for you to vote. That's why it's so important for you to get out there. If you're not registered to vote, you need to register. And if you are registered and you didn't vote, shame on you. We are given a freedom in this country. So few countries have. So vote. And this law legalized abortion in New York, listen, up to the moment of birth. Up to the moment of birth. You heard me right. And by the way, when it was announced, it was greeted with thunderous applause and a standing ovation. And then it was signed into law with all smiles. And it was celebrated in New York with the Freedom Tower being lit up in pink to celebrate this, as well as a bridge, as well as a Capitol building in Albany. New York law legalized abortion up to the moment of birth. What does that mean? It means if a baby is considered not viable, not able to survive outside of the womb, it can be aborted. It means if a woman's life is in danger, it can be aborted. It means if a woman's health is threatened, including her mental health or physical health. This is really scary because it's completely subjective. And any doctor can say, well, I think she's not going to be able to handle this baby. So terminate it. This is what it means. I was born at 1205 in New York. It is now perfectly legal me to murder me at what? 1204. That's what it means. Let that sink in. To put it another way, late-term abortion is now legal in New York. Capital punishment, by the way, is illegal in New York, which means it is only okay to give a lethal injection to infants. This is sick. This is crazy, people. Now, you may say, well, it's for the life of the mother or the health of the mother. I want to give you three quotes of reputable doctors when we consider third trimester abortions to protect a woman's health. As an OBGYN physician for 31 years, there is no medical situation that requires aborting, killing the baby in the third trimester to save the mother's life. Just deliver the baby by C-section, and the baby has 95% survival with readily available NICU care, even at 28 weeks. C-section is quicker and safer than partial birth abortion for the mother. Lawrence Koenig, fellow of the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. I want to clear something up. so that there's absolutely no doubt. I'm a board-certified OBGYN who's delivered over 2,500 babies. There's not a single fetal or maternal condition that requires third trimester abortion. How many are there? None. Not one. Delivery, yes. Abortion, no. There is absolutely no medical reason to kill a near-term or term infant for any reason. Dr. Omar Hamada. Here's another one. As a board-certified practicing OBGYN physician for over 30 years, I need to say publicly and unequivocally, there is never a medical reason to kill a baby at term. When complications of pregnancy endanger a mother's life, we sometimes must deliver the baby early, but as always with the intent of doing whatever we can to do it safely for the baby, too. The decision to kill an unborn baby at term is purely for convenience. It is murder. God help us. God help us. It'd be horrible to live in New York. Yeah, it'd be horrible to live in any of these states. Alaska, Colorado, District of Columbia, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, or Vermont. Why? Because they all allow abortion up to the time of birth. Every one of those states, 8 states and the District of Columbia, and many of those will fund abortions for all or most medically necessary abortions they deem. By the way, 19 other states allow for broad exceptions to the rule when it comes to late-term abortions. New Jersey, that was on that list earlier, recently introduced a bill that would prevent the slaughter of pregnant cows. So a cow and its unborn calf would be more important than an unborn baby. How horrible to live in any of those states. How horrible to live in Illinois. Amen. Well, I wasn't expecting that, but one reason is our newly elected governor, J.B. Pritzker. This is the statement he made on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Illinois will be the most progressive state in the nation when it comes to guaranteeing women's reproductive rights. That's code for abortion rights. In other words, he said, we're going to do even more than New York and any other state here in Illinois. You may say, well, I didn't vote for that Democrat Pritzker. Good for you. I sure hope you didn't vote for that Republican Rauner either. Because he's just as bad. He's the one that assured your tax dollars would go for state employee abortions. So don't give me this Democrat or Republican. By the way, I'm just going to make everybody mad at me by the time you leave. That's okay. You just need to understand, I'm not about party affiliation. I'm first and foremost a child of God. And I'm going to stand where God's word stands, and I'm going to value life because God values life. And if you haven't guessed it already, I'm not a politically correct preacher. And I just am not. And I don't have time for that nonsense. I just really don't. Political correctness is nonsense. Because the world is going to hell, and we need to speak the truth. And we need to speak it in love and with grace. But we must speak the truth because souls are at stake. And the lives of babies are at stake. And we've got to get back to the basics of life. And we got to stop letting this culture silence us and bully us. Don't let this culture silence you and bully you. Now, first and foremost, I want to assure you something. Because there are some women among us. Stats say that upwards of 25% or 1 in 4 women by the time they're age 45 would have had an abortion. I want you to understand this is not a place you're going to be judged. This is a place you're going to be loved because there is a God who forgives any and all sin. And so if you're here today and all of a sudden you're feeling this weight of shame and guilt, let me tell you something. We're all there. We're all sinners. We've all done horrible things in our life. We've all felt weight of shame. We've all felt guilty over things. And we've come to the grace of God. We've fallen on our faces before him and we found forgiveness through Jesus. And so we need to understand that. This is a place of grace, okay? And this is a place where it's going to be extended. Psalm 86:5 says this, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to who? All who call upon you." And so he's good. He's ready to forgive. He's abundant. He's not going to withhold his love because of any sin. And it's love for any who call on him. And so I want to assure you, you are welcome here, and that God does forgive and God does love you. So this is not a message about judgment. This is a message about life. And we need to get back to the basics of life. So let's do that. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Psalm 139. The 139th Psalm. You don't know where it is in your Bible, just go right in the middle. Boom, open it up. You'll find the Psalms and make your way to Psalm 139. And there's a section I want to talk about and preach on, and it's verse 13 through 18. And it's a beautiful section of life. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Getting back to the basics of life first, life is God-given. Say that with me. Life is God-given. Every baby is a precious creation of God. And in this passage, verse 13 through 18, you have you formed, you wove, thanks to you, your works not hidden from you, your eyes have seen, in your book, your thoughts, I am still with you. 9 times in 6 verses, God is mentioned concerning the creation of a baby. So life in the womb is all about God, and he's got his fingerprints over every single baby. God makes babies. Yeah, I know you had something to do with it too. But understand, God is the maker of babies, all right? The development of those children. And that means no baby is an accident. No infant is a mistake. And no child is without worth. Not a single one. You form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. So there's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as evolution. There's no such thing as luck. There is God who creates children. Psalm 100 verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is God. Say it with me. It is he who has made and not we ourselves. So let's get back to the basics of life. Life is God-given. Secondly, life begins before birth. Say it with me. Life begins before birth. Look at verse 13, the second part of it. You wove me in my mother's womb. There's life there. Verse 15, skillfully wrought me in the depths of the earth. Now, my mother's womb, life begins before birth. The womb of a woman is God's workshop. That's the laboratory of life. 9 months in production from start to finish. God's at work. Isaiah 44:24. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the one who formed you from the womb. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. So life begins before birth. And then he mentions, verse 15, in the depths of the earth. What in the world's he talking about there? This is a poetic description of the womb of a pregnant woman. It's this picturesque way of saying that round, hidden belly, secretive place is like the center of the earth. Do we have any pregnant ladies here? Any pregnant ladies here? Okay, I'm not sure if we do. That's just a picture of beauty is what it is. You're carrying the globe around, honey. That's what you're doing. And in the secret, it's just amazing, the depths of your earth. Now, then he says, he's basically saying life begins before birth. I love this statement. A preborn baby was the first to rejoice at the news of Jesus. Think on that. Who's he talking about? John the Baptist, Luke chapter 1:41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Verse 44, for behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. The baby in the womb is a living human being, a person with personality. And a baby can hear what's going on and even respond. Listen, I talk to every single one of my kids in that womb. Every one of them. Hello in there. And I put my face like this right on my wife's belly. I love you. I tell them I'm praying for you. I'm not the only one that did that, right? I mean, come on, people. You've done that too. I mean, it's awesome. And then you get kicked in the face. No, it's just a thing of beauty. So life is God-given and life begins before birth. And next we see that life is an intricately amazing miracle. Say that with me. Life is an intricately amazing miracle. There's nothing random or haphazard about life. There's nothing random or haphazard about you or any child. Just listen to the descriptive language from verse 13 through 15. You formed my inward parts. Formed means molded, shaped. There are all these kids and all these parents molding and shaping Legos yesterday morning up in the fellowship hall. It was awesome, making all kinds of neat creations and cars and planes and buildings and towers. And Fabio Brancati even looks it up on the internet and starts making the Sears or Willis Tower. Just having a great time with his son. You formed my inward parts. You formed my inward parts. That means all the parts I can't see. And you can't see. All the parts I have no idea how they work. I'm just glad they do. And by the way, there's a lot of parts inside of you. A car engine has about 200 parts. The human body has 206 bones, 78 major organs, about 640 muscles, 900 ligaments, 30 feet of digestive system, 62,000 miles of blood vessels. That's capillaries and arteries and veins, and only 1 mile is visible. And by the way, 60,000 miles takes you around the earth 2.5 times. You got a lot of stuff in you. And then you have 7 trillion neurons in your nervous system. You are quite the machine. Is what you are, and every baby in the womb of its mother is an incredible machine. I want to recommend a great video to you. You can YouTube it. It's called Conception to Birth by Alexander Siceros. And he's a keynote speaker at medical conventions worldwide, president, CEO of Anatomical Travelogue. And here's just a quote from him. The magic of the mechanisms inside each genetic structure saying exactly where the nerve cell goes, the complexity of the mathematical models of how these things are done are beyond human comprehension. Even though I'm a mathematician, I look at this with a marvel at how did these instruction sets not make mistakes as they build what is us. It's mystery, it's magic, it's what? It's divinity. Yeah, it is. It's God. God is doing it. And so he's formed us. And next in verse 13, he wove me in my mother's womb. Literally, it means he embroidered. It means he knit us. Think about knitting 62,000 miles of veins, arteries, and capillaries. My wife loves to knit. She knits hats and scarves and mittens, and she's good at it. And some of you wonder how in the world I can run in cold weather. Well, she knit me this full body running suit, and I'm just does wonders. And yeah, right. Uh huh. But for the summer, she knit me this, so I'm able to go out and run in those shorts. You know. Well, she did knit me this blanket. Beautiful blanket I keep in my office, and you know, she picked out the colors to match, and she tied it all in, and she blotted it, and she did all of this stuff, and she did this with love. She knit this with love. I want you to understand, God knit you with love. He made you with love. The time, the energy, the expertise, he knit you with love. Listen to these scriptures, Psalm 119:73. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Job 10, your hands fashioned and made me altogether. Verse 11, clothe me with skin and with flesh and knit me together with bones. and sinews, all those connecting points. Listen, no woman here has ever knit 60,000 miles of material in one project. But God has. And God has multiple tens of thousands of these projects going at the same time. And he's completing them all. See, some of you ladies start this knit project, and then you start another knit project, and you start another, but you still haven't got back to that one. God's got them all going, all these babies and all these wombs. He's knitting them together with love, each of them 60,000 miles of just the veins, capillaries, and arteries alone, not including everything else. And he's knitting them all with love. And it says here, he wove me, and he wove you. That means you are unique, like no one else on this planet. You are one of a kind. We are not mass-produced. We are special, each and every one of us, in the image of God, special individuals. Formed and wove, and then verse 14 and 15, he mentions made, fearfully and wonderfully made, and made in secret. And fearfully made means all-inspiring. Just this power of the Almighty God who crafted you. So tell the person next to you, it took some serious power and know-how to sculpt this body. Just tell them that. It took some serious power and know-how to sculpt my body. That's the truth. That is the truth. And then you just start to think about, what about my bones? How did I get rock-hard bones when I was only soft, pliable tissue? That's a good question. Ecclesiastes 11:5, just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he says here, wonderfully made. That's the highest quality craftsmanship. God didn't cut any corners. He didn't use cheap material. And he says, your frame was made in verse 15. Your frame is your support system. We're talking about the skeletal system, those 206 bones. And skillfully wrought, formed, wove, made, skillfully wrought. That means with specialized skill and precision craftsmanship. And God oversaw baby project from start to finish. The whole thing. He's the architect, the construction manager, expert trade in every field. Circulatory, nervous system, digestive, muscular. He makes the eyes, the bones, everything. And it's all done without a sound. You go to most construction sites, man, there's a lot of noise. If you were to go to a construction site and hear no noise, what would you conclude? They ain't getting anything done. God gets a lot done, and he does it without a sound. And we're made in secret, verse 15. He's not letting anybody in on it. Not until it's finished and that secret eventually comes out. Now, once in a while, God gives us a sneak peek from the outside. It's one of my favorite pictures, that little foot down there. Once in a while, we get a sneak peek from the inside. I want you to watch the clearest MRI of a pregnancy ever recorded. It's from a company called Futurism. This is a baby at 20 weeks. 20 weeks. Remember, abortion can be performed 18 weeks after this. God is knitting that little child. Stretch! Just amazing what God does in the womb of a mother. He's knitting that child together. Let's get back to the basics of life. Life is God-given, and life begins before birth, and life is intricately amazing miracle. And next, that life is of inestimable value. Say that with me. Life is of inestimable value. That means enormous value, immeasurable value, great value. It means every person has value. Every individual is important. All life is precious. Remember, we're fearfully made. You're wonderfully made. Every child is a wonderful work. And then he says in verse 14, and my soul knows it. We know it. People have seared their conscience. We know that as a child in the womb of that woman. And by the way, this is where biblical self-esteem comes in. I'm so tired of self-esteem in the world. Biblical self-esteem is understanding you have value because you are loved by God. You are created by God. You've been redeemed by God. You're one of a kind, special, because of God. And the only proper response, verse 14, is I will give thanks to you. I want to encourage you to start giving thanks to God for you. Stop complaining about your big nose, your pointy ears, your short legs. Stop complaining about the color of your eyes or the straight hair, then you wish you had curly hair. Or you have curly hair, this one, and wishes they had straight hair. Just be thankful you have hair, okay? We complain about our bodies all the time. Stop comparing yourself to other people and realize you are unique, you are special, you are important to God, and He didn't make a mistake when He created you. You've been created just as you are. Get your head out of the magazines and everything else telling you you aren't right. God created you. You're right just as you are. And stop thinking otherwise and stop believing the lies of this world. Romans 9:20, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Will it? Who do you think you are? He's the potter, we are the clay. He's made us as He wishes us to be made. So give thanks for who you are and give thanks for all babies. All babies. That's why we don't complain about babies. That's why we don't see them as an inconvenience. That's why we don't see babies as a mistake. That's why we don't think there's too many babies. Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, if you're familiar with that organization, had this to say about large families. The most merciful thing the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. That is the founder of Planned Parenthood, and they are fulfilling her wish, guys, every single day. By the way, where is that found? It's found in her book, Woman and the New Race, Chapter 5. The name of the chapter? The Wickedness of Creating Large Families. That's the founder of Planned Parenthood. There is no wickedness in having a large family. And dare not mock somebody who has a lot of kids. If you mock a large family, you are mocking God who created those children. Children are a blessing from God, not to be mocked and not to be terminated. Every life is precious and valuable, and thank God for every life. And you may say, well, wait a minute, but what about that child who's deformed? What about that child with a physical handicap? What about the child whose special needs? Let's let God answer that. Exodus 4:11. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Answer, say it with me. Is it not I, the Lord? So the Lord makes no mistakes. And God is sovereign over the creation of each individual. And so we dare not argue or quarrel with God about it. Isaiah 45:9. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands. Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, to what are you giving birth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me about the things to come concerning my sons, and you shall commit to me the work of my hands. Woe to the person who mocks somebody with a physical disability. Woe to the person who mocks a parent of a child with special needs. Every child is precious to God. Every child should be precious to you and me. Everyone. One of the ministries we have in our church is called Embrace. If you walk down the hallway in our children's wing, you'll see the sign that just recently went up. We as a church want to fully embrace all children, including their parents. And so we have a special ministry to children with special needs and their families. We currently have 20 families that we support in this church, 12 active volunteers, 13 on call. We support Sunday school class from K through 12. We have a special class going on right now at this hour at 10:45, where the kids are loved and they're taught and they're cared for. We support Awana and GEMS and Coffee Break and VBS. And we want God to use this. There are people in our church who've been asked to leave their churches because they have a special needs kid. That's crazy. So we want to open our arms wide at our church and just say, everybody's welcome here. If you're interested in volunteering in that ministry, or you know a family that could benefit from that ministry, please see Kelly Matteram. Kelly Matteram heads that up, and she's doing a great job. So if you're interested in that, make sure you seek her out. Every life is precious. Thank God for every life. And look at verse 16 through 18. We notice that God has a book, and you're in it. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. You're in it from the beginning of this book. Your book were all written. So we're talking sperm and egg, very beginning. You may say, well, there's not much to a sperm and egg. Don't kid yourself. At the moment of conception, listen to this. At the moment of conception, there is a complete genetic code in place. At the moment of conception, there is a completely different DNA than the mother's. I want you to understand, completely different. Architectural blueprint. And there will be different blood type and its own immune system and different sex half of the time. That child is a different living, breathing person. At 3 to 4 weeks, the heart begins to beat. At 5 to 8 weeks, the brain waves can be detected. I want you to understand, it's not a blob, it's a baby. Say that with me. It's not a blob, it's a baby. People don't go around saying, we're going to have a blob. What do they say? We're going to have a baby. People don't walk up to people who are going to have a baby and say, do you know what your blob's going to be? Do you know what kind of blob it's going to be? No. What do they say? Do you know what kind of baby it's going to be? And by the way, I have yet to see anybody throw a blob reveal party. They're just not out there, friends. And let me just throw this out. By the way, there are only two genders. There are only two genders, okay? And there's male, there's female. That's a sermon for another day, but let's just get that out there, all right? People are confused and they need God. And this culture is so confusing. And we have the truth. And people need the truth. So we need to speak the truth, but we need to speak it in love and help people come to know the truth. Now, we're in this book from the beginning, and we're in this book every day. Verse 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. In your book are all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So God has a book, and I don't think it's a scrapbook, people, okay? He has a book of days. And it's not a day at a glance, or a month at a glance, or a year at a glance. It's eternity at a glance is what it is. Before time and into time that has no end. And he saw us before we could be seen, and he wrote about us when there seemingly was nothing to write about. And from eternity, our days have been recorded. So you're not only in God's book, look at verse 17 and 18, you're on God's mind. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. So God thinks about you, and God thinks a lot about you, and God thinks about you more than you could ever imagine. And not only does God think about you, God is always with you. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, God never forgets you. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Sadly, yes. Even these may forget. But God says, I will not forget you. Behold, I've inscribed you on the palm of my hands. God says, even if everybody forgets you, your parents forsake you, your spouse abandons you, your children leave you. He says, I'm never leaving you. I will always be with you. It's time we get back to the basics of life. Life is God-given, begins before birth, intricately amazing miracle, inestimable value, and lastly, so life, take a stand and speak up. Say it with me. Life, take a stand and speak up. Proverbs 31:8. Open your mouth for the mute and for the rights of the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Do not let this culture bully you into silence. Speak up for the unborn. Speak with love. Speak with grace. But speak up. Proverbs 28:1. The righteous are bold as a lion. Too many wallflower Christians out there. Afraid to say anything. God says the righteous are bold as a lion. We got enough wallflowers. We need more lions. So let's start roaring for God. And let's start getting the truth out about babies. And let's start speaking up. And it says here, the righteous are bold as a lion. You know what that tells me? You're not bold, you're not righteous. That's what it says. Because if you're righteous, you'll speak up. Not only speak up, stand up. Psalm 82. Vindicate the weak and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. What great action words. Vindicate, do justice, rescue, deliver. Not calls to violence, but calls to action. I'm grateful for the action of hundreds of thousands of people in this past week in Washington. Roe v. Wade anniversary. Estimates of 650,000. Here it is, sped up. 650,000 marching through the streets for unborn babies. Just keeps going and going and going. In Chicago, here's a picture of what took place in Chicago, about 8,000 gathered in Chicago. By the way, some of you need to be at those places next year. Some of you need to go to Washington next year. Some of you need to go downtown Chicago. Some of you need to organize that. You can get people in our church and just go. Take a stand for life, march for life, pray for life. Some of us need to stand locally. We have the Pregnancy Information Center that we support as a church, and they're represented out in the foyer today. Give money to this organization. You can pick up a little baby bank. Fill it with coins. Fill it with cash. Fill it with checks. Put your money where your mouth is. You say you're pro-life. You say you believe in the lives of babies. Well, then start doing something. Stand up. Let's do something. Go down to Planned Parenthood. Pray outside of that clinic. Foster children. Adopt children. Do something for babies. Speak up. Stand up. Pray. Pray for our president of the United States. Pray for him. Yeah, I know he's a big mouth and says stupid things all the time. Can I tell you something? I praise God for that man. He's pro-life. He's appointed judges across this nation who are honoring God. I'm praying God gives him two more justices at the Supreme Court level. I've been praying that since day one he got into office. How many has he got already? He's got two. I'm praying for two more. Man, guys, just pray for our leaders in this nation. Pray for God to raise up men and women of God to offices across this nation that won't sell their souls, but will take a stand for life. Pray for the end of abortion in this nation. Do you realize slavery was law in this land for 87 years? 87 years. A black person was not a person. They didn't even have a soul. They were just property. 87 years. That was a horrific law in our nation. It's been 46 years. Abortion has been the law in our land. That baby has no rights. That baby is not a person. Baloney. That baby is a person and does have rights. And if slavery could be overturned, abortion can be overturned. And we need to start believing it and praying for it. We need to get back to the basics of life. And what are they? Say them with me. Life is God-given. Life begins before birth. Life is an intricately amazing miracle. Life is of inestimable value. Life, take a stand and speak up.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning, or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit atharvest.church.